Down the brass start. Staying to 11. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hey, good morning.
You know that, man, we was just there discussing that gentleman.
Yes, the ridiculousness.
I can remember just about 2-3 months ago. I don't remember which minister it was. But he came on because we was complaining about it just like that guy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they are going to get it rectified.
I remember that.
Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? You remember?
When these people call, right? Mm-hmm. And I say it's not rectified. The first thing in my mind is they say that they're uninformed, right? But then when they told me last week, I had a brother that had to go and do it too. That's last week. They had to. Uh-huh. I said, wait, it gone back. The chair broke down. The table was too big. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Right, because he was told to be rectified in a short space of time. So it's a person that still that problem still exists.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
Now, I really call you to speak about these squatters, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I must first ask, if we have a chief immigration officer,
mm-hmm.
a chief town planner,
mm-hmm.
and a chief public health officer.
We do.
And they're getting paid by taxpayers of this country?
Monthly.
Well, I would have thought that these are the persons who would be responsible for what's going on up in Rock Hall.
You are correct.
Because, look, I know, Corey, and I could take you now when you leave your studio, and I take you to at least 3. And I know there's more, but 3, I know I could tell you inside the houses on my own, with me and you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I can show you the additions, just one room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking about one particular house. The family has been extended, and they went to build a structure, a room, onto the house. They received a stop notice from the chief town planner, and this was about 3 years ago.
Whoa.
And up to now, this same structure still in the same condition. They cannot lay not one stone on that particular room.
Again, when these discussions are going on, right, I'm privy to the fact that there are some people in the back room stooping, and they're laughing at us because they say we're ignorant. We're ignorant to the facts. Because when you see people push down the vendor stall, but you see that they can't push down the big one out there by the highway, right? And then you see these things with the stop notice. You see the guy there, all his things, and he get that stop notice. But then you see 300 buildings shoot up and nothing happens, right? There's sometimes a reason for the, and I like to believe that. There's a reason for it, but we just don't know. So you can carry me there, but on our way there, we got to stop by somebody in the know and ask them a question or two and demand answers. Because I assure you just as lost as me. How could these go up and the same person you're talking about got a stop notice? You can answer
just
that.
Just one room. You know?
Yep, I know.
And I can remember down in Country Planet went in Oyston and knocked down a whole guard wall.
Yep.
Just a guard wall, a guy built up there. So
when it was in Trent's, right? I thought I would have been able to set up there. Before I set up, some persons came and they told me. I told them to get around dealing with the buildings. I can put up these 10 by 20 tents, right? They told me, you still got to go to town and country planning. Once you got more than 3 sites, it got good. I said, what the bird? You understand? So there was on me for that. But people could set up these mansions and things out there. You understand? So we missing something, you know. We're missing something.
You know, it was disgraceful about this and hurting people, Corey. This thing affecting our airport, the radar.
Mm-hmm.
It affecting our water.
There's some other things too. You know, there's a WhatsApp here again, Ree, when I finish with you. Some other health issues and stuff people hinting at here too.
Right. Our water ground system, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had, how much people there was there, 70 or so before, 30?
36.
I know you got over 300 people out there, Corey. I mean, something wrong. I mean, and I see a government minister there who got me real angry. He up there now saying he trying to regularize.
To regularize, like, I saw that too. But that might be a misquote, you know. You got to be careful with that. That might be a misquote.
I hope it's a misquote.
You got to double check that. You got to wait for the retraction.
Because you can't get a scan thing, you know. I mean, you look at how close these houses are and just like a pathway. No roads, no provisions for roads, nothing at all. I say that these houses should be knocked down for
You got to be careful, though, you man. Wait, but what about the 300 homes? What about these people? What do you do with them?
Do you
send them by Salvation Army?
I'm glad you answered that question.
Well, answer it.
We have people in this country living here in Barbados, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who up to this day can't find one penny mm-hmm. to go to a bank and get a mortgage to buy a piece of land.
Correct.
You want to tell me now that you go, people, I mean, where they were before they construct these houses, Corey, there had to be something else in Barbados. So you want to tell me now that government would got to come and respect these people, give them a piece of this rock in this country. We have people living here in Barbados.
But remember, they are not only culpable, you know. Remember, the authorities fail to do what they're supposed to do. There's something called squatter's rights. And I understand they're kicking out about 7 years. A lawyer can correct me. But these people have been there 10, 12 years. So the squatter rights. So they have a part of responsibility for starting the problem. But our authorities, if these stories are to be believed, and this paper is not a hoax, they are responsible as well. So that is what we are being charged for.
Yeah, I like to remember, Corey.
Remember? Anyhow.
You have friends living out there and nothing has been done then or up to this present day. But I hope that the statement that I read in paper concerning me is really true.
Yeah.
Honestly.
We'll wait and see.
I have a loss. What you these people can construct all 300 houses. They ain't got no running water. I mean, what are you using as a pet to Corey?
Maybe
I mean,
that's
dangerous to all people in this country have. And somebody need to uproot these people. I don't care who get angry with me. Let them come after me. This should be uprooted as soon as yesterday.
We'll see. 3 minutes to 11 o'clock. The Monday edition, 11 o'clock. Let's get to a couple WhatsApps and back to the line. Good morning. The situation which has been highlighted in the Sanderson Reed squatters in Rock Hall is symptomatic of where this country has found itself because of the interference of some politicians and public officials and professionals who are prevented from or are afraid of carrying out their duties. The settlement has been allowed to mushroom into what it is today. As a resident of the neighboring Gemswick community, it saddens me to see what the area has become. The waste disposal habits of the squatters are a major issue. Residents bring out their garbage every day and throw it on a pile, which is above the Maria Holder Nursery School and close to the front yard of a resident who is constantly cleaning the area. To say it is a disgusting sight at the entrance of the Gemswick community is an understatement. Something needs to be done with this squatter situation. The health workers have hinted that there are other issues. If you speak to them, you will understand. I wouldn't say here. Another major environmental issue is the amount of derelict vehicles blocking the roadway and vacant lots. We need to pay more attention to environmental issues. Just having a Minister of Environment and National Beautification with little action on the waste management issue is of little help to residents who are saddled with a garbage and sewage tax, and in our case, have seen little improvement in garbage collection services. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
How are you? I wasn't going to call in because, as I say, as you notice, I don't call in much now. Mm-hmm. Now, Corey, they're talking about the people living in Gemswick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Corey, do you know there's nurses living up there? Do you know there's people working in government living up there?
Whoa.
And they're paying taxes and insurance and everything. There's a lot of them lose their home and couldn't find anywhere else to live.
Okay. That was in the report.
Look, Corey, there's a lot of things that the report only put in what you want.
Okay. No, I am not doubting you, you know, because...
Corey, let me tell you, you got to go down there then, quietly go down there, right? And just ask around. You will find there's a lot of people. And the lady that talk about immigrants, illegal immigrants, there's not one illegal immigrants living down there. Everyone down there paying their taxes and insurance, and those immigrants cannot, they're waiting for their papers. They cannot get no treatment at the hospital nor the clinic. They cannot get no free medication, and yet they are paying national insurance and tax.
Vinny, let me borrow a little of your time. I can pay it back, right? Now, some messages came through here to me and told me 100 Barbadians live down there and the rest are illegal foreigners. That's what the message is saying. Now, you're saying there are none. Now, this is where journalism it gets an opportunity to hit the apex by going into that community Because I will go, because I like to see things firsthand. But not every Barbadian have the opportunity to go, or the willingness, or the, you know, to go. So this is where journalists should go in there and get the information and bring it out, so that we see now what is the real situation.
Instead of being one-sided, Corey,
yes.
There's a lot of them down there are immigrants that waiting for their status. You know, I know someone who's waiting 20, and sorry, I know four. They're living here, went to school and everything, waiting 20 years, and they're not illegal. They're paying their national insurance, their taxes, they do everything. They cannot get no treatment at the hospital. They cannot get none at the clinic. And there's a lot. They're taking too long to give these people their papers. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, every time you're going to get a renewal, to, you know, for living and, you know, whatever they call it, right. You know, it's over $1,000.
So I've heard. And it's a lot of weight and a lot of paperwork, and it is
thank you very much. And that lady that comes here, she's talking crap. I lived in the United Kingdom, and there is places I used to work early morning, evening, and there is a lot of foreigners, Bajan, Trinidadian, Jamaican. I used to help get them to work, and I usually know when the immigration come in, because when you come into work, you can see a certain vehicle park. You say, I will phone them and say, don't come in today. Right? There's a lot of people. I can tell you, I can give you their name and number now.
But Winnie, we actually on the same page, because both of us have landed back on the authorities. Because people can blame the minister and things. And I wonder if they tie the hand of the authorities. I have issues with them too as well. People can blame the people.
I was around here then, they're talking about fly power to work and help to build up Barbados, paying tax and insurance, and cannot get no medical. That lady should talk about it. You remember CBOB is the cause of a lot of things too, because they used to go about the Guyanese when the Guyanese was working damn hard in this country, and now they can't even get potato because they all gone back home. Huh? Gone back home. She's talking nonsense, and VOB must stop this nonsense now.
When but no, VOB must be the moderator. VOB must let all the sides contend. There's the side like you, Winnie, who says, you know, these people are working hard. There's the side like me that says, you know, how do we find moderation in the middle ground in this particular? And then there's some people that say, kick them off, scamper them, bulldoze them tomorrow. You understand? But there are people here, they're saying, Winnie, you cannot do this. It doesn't give them the right to squat on the land. They have no right to build on the land. You can't defend illegal behavior.
Why can't they stop them from the beginning?
Right, that's my thing. Why wait 11, 12 years?
The land to rent. They cannot get no spot to rent, Corey. Because if you go to a minister or you go to find out, they're telling you, oh, no land. And there is land to rent, but the people cannot get it. They're willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're not in somebody's pocket, you can't get nowhere. There's nurses down there. There's people that work in government living down there. The houses I see going up big is nothing to do with the immigrants. It's Beijing that start building those big houses. Huh? People are waiting for their papers, and they're paying there. Every two or 3 years, they got to go and get renewal to live and stay. And it's $1,000, and they're paying national insurance and tax. Tell that lady for me, let them get their medical at the hospital and the clinic. There are decent people living down there. I'm not saying you don't have one and two. That is not. But I am telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, I could go with you to houses where there's nurses.
Man, 2 o'clock, you and Tallboy, but meet me at the front lobby and let me go on our journalistic drive. Good morning, Corey. How are you? Hope your weekend was fabulous. Can you please find out the number for sanitation? My garbage was not picked up for 4 weeks. Need to call and find out what is happening. My recommendation to these utilities and these, you know, agencies, you know, the public, large numbers that the public have to use, I would advocate that you all have some kind of system or portal that people can log into and see schedule. When you have, you know, a truck broken down, you can say route 27, your route is broken down, and this is the position you will get a pickup XYZ, because I am certain I'm going to give out the number. And the question is if the form will be answered. The form may be answered. The question is if you will get the answer. So I'll look for that number and I'll put it out. Brass Stats, good morning, you're on the air.
Didn't I say?
Yes, please.
all the kids.
The kids are really, really good, and the children are well as well.
Yeah. with the squatters, I met them fair now, right? They're moved them. You went out in Fairland, I go on there move.
Now, I don't think that the there's this no one-off answer to this. I'll tell you why, right? Because when you let them pay a land rent, don't you send a signal to other people you could go and squat, stay where you want, and then you will get this land?
No, the clients have to squat them, and they feel they can squat them, don't do nothing. I'll let them pay a land.
Not pay, like, I can pull from something I just saw. So, for instance, I realized, okay, Y'all squatting and getting to write the land. Well, I want a piece of land up the Lara Court. So I go and set up there this evening, and I stay there, then they can rent me there then?
No, but I mean that if the bed house and they're ready to put it, no, no way they're going to put it. They'll have to pay rent.
These issues are not easy issues, you know, because you can't make over 300 families. Because if it's 300 homes, it's not one each, you know. The minimum is one. You can't make 300 families homeless overnight. It is just, when you have one fire in Barbados, people have to scramble to find housing for these people. So what to say about 300 homes?
Yes, but if them bit the shot to the system, I don't want not much land, right? But still, they'll pay a little something, my dad will move them.
What about the issue? What about the issue of the garbage? What about the issue of the airport? What about the issue of affecting an international airport? The worst thing that can happen to Barbados, or one of the worst things, is for Barbados to lose that international destination. Because we make a lot of money by being a connecting hub for a lot of the region and other places in the world. What if, you know? That affect our designation as an international airport. Then
that should be clean. It should get clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's clean out in my days.
But no,
Everything changed. You know.
Yep. One constant in the world is change. We're gonna change to another caller now. So thank you very much, and do have a wonderful day, Brastats. Good morning, Brastats. Good morning.
Morning, Corey.
Yes, please.
I don't know if it was a flip of the hand or a flip of the tongue earlier, but you gave the impression that the squatting was created by the previous government.
No, that's a flip of your ears, because that was neither said nor intended.
No, you go back to this. I don't know what you meant. The previous
What? Quote what I said so that I can correct it, please. This is former Minister Kelman.
Hi,
morning, sir. You're driving? You're on the cell phone? You're not coming across clear. I don't want to lose you at all.
No, but what happened is that because I think where you were misled, because of the dating of the other general's report.
Right.
Because it was done in 2018, it doesn't necessarily mean that the problem was created, and it probably was mainly saw the problem.
But my reference to the time, and I honestly and genuinely from my heart will let you just to say what I say that give you an impression so I can clarify.
Yeah,
but my understanding was that there were 36 properties there in 2007 and they were removed. And then we are in 2019, fast forward to 2019. So what period of time would the houses been replaced there?
Well, your information is wrong. Also, the information is wrong when you said that the land belongs to government. Government acquired land at first. Mm-hmm. But the land that is being talked about is not the land that was acquired by government.
Mm-hmm.
It was land that the person wanted for development.
Mm-hmm.
But because government wanted it for the same said reason, to ensure that there weren't safety problems.
Right.
But don't
make two cents. I didn't know. I don't know who land it belonged to. I read and I understand the majority of it is not government land, but part of it is government land. And that is not my understanding from the newspaper. That is my understanding being familiar with the area. But that was never up for discussion. I think a caller said they could rent the land from the government. And I think that's where the government land thing came in from.
But the land that the government owns is land that it was a legal dispute because apparently the owner had permission for subdivision and government had acquired that because of the same safety reasons.
Right. And I commend the government for that. I commend them. You're a minister of housing. Now, let me ask you a question. How did this get so? How do we have 300 people squatting up by the airport today?
I already caused a deal with that particular problem.
That's no problem, but I am sure with your wisdom and knowledge and background in your area, you can just
explain. Let me tell you how it got through, because right. People in Barbados do not listen to common sense.
And they're not listening to Kelman.
No, you don't get involved in that problem. That people depend too much on private landlords to correct what they can correct.
Mm-hmm.
For you to solve a housing problem, it has to be done by a government.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It cannot be done partially by private citizens. Mm-hmm. And due for some reason, allow government to put the emphasis on private owners, who sometimes were deprived of a right to have a piece of land. I'm really surprised that some of the persons who are there now are people who suffered on the plantation 20 years and found themselves having to go in the store.
But why was no stop notice given to those persons again after they reached 36 houses or 30 again? Why was no stop notice given and enforced?
That is not for me to answer, sir.
But
that's not.
So you don't have that type of information, being a former
chairman? No, I don't have the power to deal with that.
You don't have the power?
I never had the power to deal with those.
No, I'm not putting it at you, sir. I'm just trying to lean on your experience.
No, we always come to the end, but we do not go to the initial problem.
Right, that's why you're going to the beginning. Why was no stop forces? Why wasn't it stopped?
And that is why the previous government, if you want to talk with previous, talked about the deal with providing $5 law for those persons who could not normally go and compete. I heard a guy also making the point, and you know, it's rather interesting, and I'm glad that he raised it, that the houses at Forest Land are still unoccupied. When we left office, all those houses were allocated.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
But you see, a couple of years ago, that would have been a hot political issue. It would have been an issue for the call-in programs and for the moderators.
Mm-hmm.
A year or more after, it is not an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the agenda is not there anymore.
The agenda? What agenda is that?
Well, whatever it is, I don't know. Because every year or more ago, housing people was important. And now a caller could call. I don't know who 2 years, because I don't go spend around with anybody. A caller could call to say that houses are still unoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
It baffles the mind that the moderators don't know that.
But my thing is, you're someone familiar to the calling programs for years, even way before I even sat in any of these chairs. I listened to you back even in primary school. And my thing is, do you believe the agenda is set here by moderators or callers?
Well, it is not always set by moderators. I'm going to be dishonest to make the point. But I can tell you, you have the moderators there who set the agendas away.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes they even go against you by those.
Mm-hmm.
Just to set the agenda.
No, that's par for the course. My thing is, though, as a moderator, I don't believe that we set the agenda at all, actually. We come here with opening remarks just to kick up something, and then callers call with their thing, and then persons, you know, callers comment on what callers say, not what moderators. So I believe callers set the agenda here on the program.
And that is why I said to you earlier, it was either slip of the hand or sitting down. I was not prepared to judge this one. I give you the opportunity to correct yourself.
I already told you which one it was, sir. This is a flip of the ears.
Because I got an opportunity, and you have an opportunity to listen to it before me. Mm-hmm. I can assure you I will listen again tonight, because mm-hmm. I will not pick up a phone and call you by accident.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not a problem, sir. If I did in any way mislead or put any incorrect information, I'll be the first to apologize. It definitely was not intentional, so it'll be a slip of the tongue. But from my recollection, I didn't deal with anything in terms of saying that the matter would have been started at the fault or defeat of the last administration. My thing is that I spoke about the authorities and those who should have enforced. And instead of the politicians of then or the politicians of now tie the hands of the authority, they're culpable as well. And if I say that before, guess what? I still believe it, and I'll say it again. Okay, sir? We got to take a break, though. It's 90 minutes after 11 o'clock. And we'll be right back. The Wednesday edition. The Wednesday, no, today's Monday. The Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks continues. Good morning. You're on the air.
Mr. Corey.
Yes, please.
How are you, sir?
I am fine, thanks. And you?
I'm not too bad. I see that you get your dates mixed. So that means that you'll be in Biden and Masters where your faculties are not been able to keep track.
No, yeah, man. They're totally out of whack, man.
Now, Mr. Corey, you see this matter with this squatting?
Mm-hmm.
This has been a hot potato for years, and I can tell you, and that's why I tell you, when you change government, the most way you change it is fake names and faces.
Mm-hmm.
Once MPs from any party settle into a particular situation, when matters of this nature come up, matters which determine whether their votes involved or no votes involved, this is exactly what happened. This matter has threatened to split political parties down the center already, and the politicians are afraid of it. The town and country planning are the ones who are responsible in the Ministry of Housing. But for some unknown reason, politicians really feel that they are likely to lose favor with the electorate, whether they're illegal or otherwise. They tend to back off, and they tend to cause a lot of what we call procrastination.
But if you look at it, if I can interject here, that doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you why. Now, my WhatsApp here is going, like, if we are talking about lawyers or solid waste tax or something, because it's just going. Now, it usually goes. But when it's going, you know that is a hot button issue. And people are pissed. For the most part, they're pissed. So you're really upsetting voters. And to allow non-nationals, according to this story, to squat. So you're not really gaining any votes or favor there. You're actually doing the opposite. So in that case, it would not make much sense.
Mr. Corey, you can see yourself. Let me tell you
Anyhow, go ahead.
I have this country long enough to see illegals and people who have documentation offer national insurance numbers months before elections.
So we have election fraud here in mass, sir?
It's not fraud. If a man comes here from another country and he's not properly documented, and you feel that man might vote for you or support you, you can get properly documented. And then you vote, you got his papers. So it's not fraud.
So it's not fraud. It's above board.
It might be a moral issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But once that gentleman has a ID card or whatever it is, and he votes, then there's nothing you can do for him. I'm just saying that this is an issue that politicians brought the last administration. The minister responsible today, he spoke about this situation. He spoke in very general terms, as though he preferred not to have to deal. But in no way.
So let me see if I get you right. Because the information came in here just now. It's telling me that the majority of the homes are actually built post 2008. So you're trying to say that the last administration allowed the squatters to squat, and then with a plan of giving them nationality at the last minute to get votes from them? That's what you're trying to say?
Mr. Corey, don't read anything to Wednesday.
No, I'm not trying to read. I'm trying to interpret. So help me.
I'm saying clearly, it is a matter that politicians are afraid of because of the numbers involved. It's a matter of
so they're vote. Not afraid of the issues of affecting our international airport? They're not afraid of the health issues connected to issues like these?
That's the issue that the Prime Minister and the Cabinet will have to deal with. They'll have to determine which is more important to Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Either getting a few votes or getting your license, your travel license taken away. Because you can tell you something. If any incident with the aircraft at the airport, especially during what they call overcast conditions, when they get law, images bunked about any issue, Barbados could lose its operational license. And you know where that would put us? It would put us straight into Haiti. We become just like Haiti. Eating mud cakes. So all I'm saying is this.
But sir, I have to take issue with you calling my executive so silly. Because the executive will have to be really silly for 300, 200 votes to put a country at the... I tell you, Barbadians don't understand the importance of that international airport up there called the Grantley Adams International Airport. And if you're telling me that politicians are willing to risk that, I'm telling you that the politicians are extremely silly. So I have to take issue with that, sir.
Mr. Corey, I understand what you're saying. I didn't tell you I'm silly.
I said that.
The Prime Minister and Cabinet will have to make a determination
mm-hmm.
which one is more beneficial to Barbados, to get the houses or some of them at least removed from where they are, the gabionite roof, which causes them problems with the radar system,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
let them stay there and onto the International Air Traffic Organization decide, you know something, you fellas been fooling around this year for too long, we're going to destroy your license.
Right.
And they can give in an notice, and then the license withdraw all the major aircraft they have to bypass Barbados. All I'm saying is,
I can't have a picture.
We have to deal with it when we have time. Now, Mr. Courage is another matter you want to deal with you.
Yes, sir.
You are a gentleman who, I believe, has an intimate interest in the welfare of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you have done a lot of work in that area, giving young people a chance to get involved in areas where they can benefit both socially and even economically. Now, we have a problem in Barbados. Now, this is the problem that I see. Every evangelization there that comes around, you get the same litany of people talking about climate change and Boston and so on and so forth. And the riots, what happened with the riots over the last year, help people turn around, say, police and people breaking in. I really do not think these things are necessary. Let sleeping dogs bed, because I believe that emancipation, it was not a one-day thing, or emancipation did not start and finish with the riots. I believe that this country has been evolving over the years. I can tell between the 60s and the 90s, Belgians have shown signs of emancipation, from putting school children barefoot to putting shoes on their foot, from living in wooden houses to wooden walls and walls, from walking to work, catching a bus or a bicycle or whatever it is, or get a car.
The bottom line, sir, is the delivery method that we use, the methodology, right? If you look at the wholesome educational things that we try to do, they're extremely boring. Right? Mm-hmm. They're humdrum, right? Now, when you look at the things that are distracting our young people, they're very exciting. So you look at church, and a lot of young people run from a lot of different churches because they're very boring. School, very boring. The emancipation and the African talks and so on, for the most part, very boring. There was one I saw came to life, I think it was the historian, his name slipped me now, Trevor Marshall, yes. He went to my daughter's primary school, and he made the whole African awareness thing come alive. And all the teachers and students were talking about it for a very long time at this Gordon Walters primary school. I remember that. But for the most part, very boring. Now, when you look at the things that distract them, you know, the BET, the music videos, the things, are they very boring? Absolutely not. So I think that is where, that's one of the areas that we've got to look at. And that's one of the reasons when, in terms of any program I'm doing, I'm looking at what is a program that I would enjoy as a young person. It makes no sense boring somebody into positivity because it wouldn't work. They go towards the negative, the bad, the exciting.
Now, Mr. Corey, recently here, let me get back to your point here before I forget. There was a service, a communal service on Barnard B3, remember? They invited people of different denominations to attend. You remember that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, my question is this. If you are going to invite people who are already established religious persons to a function, an ecumenical service, you're going to pray, and you're going to intercede to God to help the country and the people, why is it that we cannot do the same thing for our children? Some years ago, especially what I mean, you might not remember, some years ago, we had an ecumenical service for all fourth and fifth formers at the gymnasium. You remember that?
No, I can't remember.
And we brought a man here from United States, a very prominent preacher and teacher, a man called Al Sharpton. And he addressed that assembly of school children, fourth and fifth formers. Don't mind how bad school children might be, and how when do we speak to children in civilized terms and try to explain to them, it sometimes has an effect on me. It can't affect all of them, but it will affect some. I am saying to whoever is responsible for that ecumenical service, that at the beginning of every term, before children return to school, there should be an ecumenical service for the fourth or fifth and sixth formers at one of entertainment areas, either at the gymnasium or the stadium or something like that. I am saying it is very important. All young people are dealing with issues and forces at work that they cannot understand. And you would have to appreciate that if there's one thing or two things lacking from all young people, it is moral and spiritual guidance. The children not going to church, as you rightly said, and the church leaders are not going to the schools. So there is a bridge, there is a gap, there is a chasm, wide open chasm that lacks communication that has to be bridged. I am asking you, if you do not think it would be helpful that before the beginning of every term, all fifth and sixth form, and I'm not saying all of them, are invited to an ecumenical service at some point where a reasonable number can be held safely, and that some kind of moral or spiritual or religious communication be mentored so that they can see a different side of life. Not only clothes and food and money and music and whatnot, and that kind of thing, but there is another side to life. That's what separates us from the animals. And because we have to recognize, as they have to recognize, that we didn't put ourselves here. I asked the father, I see, don't believe in God. I asked him where he came from. He said, well, he came from my mother's stomach. I said, but you know, you didn't start there. You didn't start in your mother's stomach. Your existence existed between a male and a female. And those two had to come together to start a process. And there's only one person that I know can stand that, and that is the Creator himself. And even although these things may sound mysterious to us, we have to let young people know that there's a spiritual and a moral side to life. There is something. I saw a track the other day, which I thought was very interesting. Which is more important, manners or makeup? You can answer that for me, because a lot more young people or young men and men do passing the hearing and putting earrings and so on. So they're going through the same cosmetic exercises to make themselves look beautiful. So I'm asking you, which is more important, manners or makeup? Do you have any answer for that, sir?
Manners, sir. That's an easy one. Manners. Easy.
But, sir, Corey, you would say that because you obviously have been brought up in a manner which suggests that you were mentored from early.
But I think most people, though, would understand manners more important than makeup, though.
But
not then, it may not be in their practice, but they would know it if you ask them.
Well, there we go. You see, that is the problem. That's the void. You go into a business place these days, both government and private, and you mostly encounter a lot of young women who have on them makeup, the rouge, the lipstick, and all the shadow and all these false this and false that. And you try to get some service, and they give you very short answers. And suddenly, if you don't accept what they tell you first, they just put up the face and that kind. So what I'm saying is that we have to do something to help our young. And those young people are angry. Some of them are angry either because they don't feel the job ain't paying enough, or somebody ain't treating them properly. We have to get to these young people. And I'm probably on the 30s. I'm probably on the 40s too.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know that there is more to life than clothes and money and food and
That's an excellent point. Because, I mean, when you're looking at comprehensive programs, you think about how to get people to spend responsibly. We had a program in one of the organizations I work with called the Ranch to Work program. And on starting the program, we wanted to look at financial literacy and so on. The money that they were making wasn't, you know, all the money in the world. But at the same time, a lot of them lived in poverty and so on. And one of the things we wanted them to understand is the importance of not even saving, because just saving alone, if you gain 0.01%, makes no sense. Now, how can you invest? How can you flip the money in their terminology? But one of the things I recognize that they fail to understand is prioritizing and so on. Some of them live in dilapidated homes, and some of them we try to convince, you know, you could put down and buy some siding boards or sign every week. Buy two, no problem with that. But no, a lot of them understood, but still had to. They socially had to purchase $400 shoes because they needed to go to the next event. And because of social media, the clothes that you wear in the event is broadcast and is there online. You cannot be seen in the same clothes twice. So the priority of spending the $250 and the $300 and the $400 they made a week had to go to clothes. It had to go to the makeup. It had to go to that makeup to make them look better. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with buying good things in life, but understanding that, one, you're spending a lot of money on an item that socially you believe that you can only wear once. And this is so deeply ingrained. It may seem simple to people listening that don't really understand it, but it is very powerful and very disappointing. I saw it up to yesterday. Anyhow, thank you. Good run, good points. This is Dr. Brass.